This morning I put together a lesson, and I was thinking a lot about the things that are going on in the world today, things that are going on in this country as well as other countries, and I got to thinking, I was like, you know, God still hasn't changed, has He? He still expects from us the same things before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and after the pandemic. And so one topic I thought, well, God hasn't changed, so we shouldn't change either. We should be thinking in the same line of thinking all the time as a Christian. And one of those things is courage for evangelism. Even in this time where contact with other people is limited or is discouraged, we need to find ways, we need to think of ways, and be courageous about how we evangelize. And that got me to thinking about a verse in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Acts chapter 23, verse 11, if you want to turn there. I know I have it quoted up on the screen. I want to read it in context. Talking to Paul there. Now, Paul the apostle faced a great deal of persecution. He faced a great deal of resistance from both the Jews and the Gentiles. In Acts 23, verse 11, it says, "The following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome.'" The Lord was encouraging Paul to be courageous in his evangelism, and not to stop preaching, even though he faced such persecution, even though he faced such resistance from his own countrymen and from those in foreign lands like Rome. And I think about us today, if the Lord is telling Paul to be courageous in his evangelism, we also ought to be courageous in our evangelism. How do we build courage to evangelize? How do we find the strength, the fortitude as a Christian to take the gospel and to teach it to others? The number one reason for not doing evangelism is the fear of rejection, being turned down, being laughed at, or looked on by others as maybe religious fanatics. Oh, you're a Bible beater. Oh, you're those aunties, Church of Christ people. Question becomes, who should we be trying to please? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul wasn't doing this to be men pleaser. He wasn't doing it for fame. He wasn't doing it to increase his own reputation as a preacher, as an evangelist. Paul did it to please God. Paul did it because God told him, go. And Paul went. Just like God told Paul, be courageous, I'm going to send you to Jerusalem. And Paul would probably die there in Jerusalem. What we need today is fearless evangelism. We shouldn't be tentative. We shouldn't hold ourselves back. We should speak. We should share the good news. If you had the best news, the best information to share with others, I think you'd be gleeful to share that good news, no matter what it was. The gospel, to me, is the ultimate good news. We should be willing and gleeful to share it with others. And Luke chapter 9, verses 25 through 26 says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The warnings are clear in the Bible. We should be courageous. We shouldn't hold back. So I thought of five steps to build courage, to evangelize. If you think about these steps, they kind of make sense. We should pray for boldness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If you'd like to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says to the Corinthians, "And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Paul, I'm sure, would pray for boldness. And when he spoke, he did so not out of fear or trembling, but he did so boldly. He did so with courage. And oftentimes, people ridiculed Paul. They persecuted him. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. If you'd like to turn there, Ephesians 6, verses 19 through 20. Paul says this, "And also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." Paul understood his role. Paul sought the words and the thoughts that he was to share with others. He didn't just think of them on the spot. I'm sure the Holy Spirit or he studied and thought about the things before he presented them, and knew by the leadership of the Holy Spirit the things that he would have to say, because he was much studied, because he knew these things, these prophecies, because he had thought about them. Now, he was an inspired writer. He was an inspired evangelist. Don't get me wrong. But we don't have to be inspired in order to evangelize. I think that's the point. Paul did so out of courage. He had that boldness to speak because he knew the Lord had his back. Even if he was persecuted to death, Paul knew that he had a crown of life and would live for eternity in heaven. He understood his role and was not afraid. He was very bold. We must share Christ in ways sometimes that are not face-to-face. In this time of pandemic, in this time where we can't necessarily meet with people face-to-face, or we can't have a classroom situation in our home, or we can't have classroom situations oftentimes, we think about, well, what are some ways we could meet and share the gospel that are not face-to-face? How about leave cards? And we have the Waynesville card with our address and an invitation if they want to come here and attend. Or tracts that you could leave on tables. Perhaps when you go to eat at a restaurant or maybe carry out, you could leave it there at the table or leave it with the person that you come in contact with if you have it delivered. Something along those lines. You could leave them in phone booths. Not that we have phone booths today, but or laundromats or restrooms. You get the idea. Places that you go or visit, you could leave cards or tracts. Not doesn't necessarily have to be a face-to-face interaction. You could insert them in your letters that you mail to friends. And you could purposely write them a letter and insert a card or insert a tract. Or perhaps your family. Could write them a card or write them a letter, or even your neighbors. You could give it to your neighbor. You could give them a card or give them a tract. Now this says bills. If you're in business or something, you could add it to your bill that you either mail back as a resident. You mail your bill into a company, or if you're receiving a bill, you could mail it back if you mail your payments in. If you're in business and you can include it in your invoices to your customers, you could certainly do that too. Another way is to let your light shine naturally. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, these good works might be small things. It might be giving a prayer, praying for someone. Anything simple that you can think of that's good and helping others. Even giving someone a cup of cold water. Doing things that are natural, good deeds. And you're not doing them to be seen of men, don't get me wrong. But those show your personality as a Christian. Those acts of kindness should be to glorify God. Matthew chapter 6, which I won't read the whole chapter. I mean, it talks about in Matthew chapter 6, giving to the needy. In 6 verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you would have no reward for your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. They have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And that's just one example of things that you can do. And certainly you don't do it to be seen of men. The whole chapter talks at length about being, you know, forgiving others when they trespass against you. That's letting your light shine, having that forgiving spirit. It talks about where you lay up your treasures. You know, we don't trust in our bank accounts. We instead lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Chapter 6. Verses 18 through 24. And when we think about anxiety, things like that toward the end of that chapter, if we are calm in a state of pandemic, if we know that the Lord will save us, even if we die from some virus or some disease, that calmness is reassuring to us as Christians. And it can be seen by others. It can be observed. Your calmness in the state of a pandemic or in others that fear a virus, you don't fear that virus. Even if you were to contract the virus or contract a deadly disease, and I'm not just talking about COVID, it could be any disease. Calmness in the face of death, knowing that your spiritual home is awaiting for you where your treasure is, that peace that comes over you can be seen by hospital staff. It can be seen by nursing home staff. It can be seen by residents of that nursing home. It can be seen by your friends and family and neighbors. They see and observe things about you and can understand. Now, I lost my parents. And that whole time, my father just kept talking about he's going home. That was his focus, was going to heaven. He had that calm assurance. And I look at his example and I understand and I perceive that he was a Christian. And the hospital staff around him knew that he knew his Bible. They observed that he was a Christian. Because at first he was at peace with God. And he knew his home was in heaven, not this temporary place here on this earth. And his treasure was laid up in heaven. That's where his heart was. That's where his heart belonged. And I don't just put my father's example out there in just flippantly. I'm saying that because there's many examples in Scripture of men like Paul who knew his treasure was in heaven. Paul's heart was in heaven with the Lord. His heart was not here on this earth. So he was excited. He was energized to let his light shine, to show others his Christianity. Not to be praised, not for fame, but so that he could try to take as many people with him as possible. And if people wanted to know more about the gospel, Paul was willing to share it, and share it often. And Paul had a lot of success at sharing and evangelizing. So we should look at men like Paul and their example. Even though he faced death, even though he faced disease, even though he faced persecution, he was still at peace with God. Some examples of how we can let our light shine before men and not to be seen of men. Things like offering thanks in public places. Maybe in a park, or maybe in a restaurant, or maybe in front of our friends or neighbors or relatives, we can offer thanks. And we can do so privately. We don't have to say the prayer out loud. We don't have to express that thanks publicly. But people can see when you're praying. People can observe that you're a Christian. Keep your Bible with you. Keep it handy. Don't be ashamed to hold or read your Bible in public. Oftentimes, that can stir up a conversation. Oftentimes, people can see and observe that you are reading your Bible and say, "Oh, what passage are you reading?" That just opens a door. It strikes up a conversation. Express faith when you're talking. When someone says, "Oh, I'm having difficulty with fill in the blank," or someone at work says, "Oh, I'm really struggling with fill in the blank," you can say, I will pray for you. I'll pray for you for that situation. Or perhaps someone is having a great day and you say, "God blessed you today. What a wonderful time to be thankful." Things like that, you may say, "Well, that just sounds like you're just throwing that out there." Well, whoever said we should be ashamed to be thankful to God when good things happen? Or when adversity happens to us, we should say, "I will pray for you." Those are good things. And people observe, and people see your evangelism. People see and observe your genuine spirit, that you're being real. Now, you do have to pray for them, obviously. When you say you're going to pray, you should pray for them. Should people say no, remember they are not rejecting you, but he who sent you. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. They look for someone else with whom to share the word. Do you ever think about that? If they reject you, maybe they're looking somewhere else. You succeed every time you sow the seed or share the word. Whether they accept it or reject it, you've succeeded. You have fulfilled your mission and your purpose as a Christian. God said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "Go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them." That's our mission. Take satisfaction knowing you are serving your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a matter of pride. That's not a matter of boasting. But you can have internal satisfaction knowing you obeyed the command. You did what was expected. And you fulfilled what Jesus Christ, who loves you, who gave himself for you, wants you to do. Have that satisfaction. These are five simple steps I thought of to build courage in our evangelism. Now, I wanted to change our focus this morning, and I really started thinking about things that are going on in India, and some here had asked me to give an update. So I thought, well, what a perfect way to tie in evangelism here in this country in the face of a pandemic and what's going on in India in evangelizing the lost over there. During the year 2020, Prem Kumar, a preacher that all of us have helped support, both as a church and individually, baptized 75 people. That wasn't an accident. That was on purpose. He set forth a plan to go and evangelize. He set forth methods and had scriptures ready and had lessons ready and spent much time in thought about teaching others and spent many long nights, many long weekends teaching That was not by accident. Prem started or helped start 12 local congregations in the state of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. Those are large areas. Now again, that didn't happen by accident. He had to travel long distances to meet with some of these villages. Each congregation, on average, has about 3 families. They are growing spiritually and growing in number. Some are small. Some are a little bit larger. Some came from different denominations and come regularly to church. Prem visits them every month to teach the truth, to help with the local preachers, and to encourage the congregations. Many don't have a preacher. Prem started a new congregation at a leprosy colony. And you want to talk about adversity. How about going to a leprosy colony and preaching? Because leprosy is contagious, just like our COVID is contagious. Now, when you have leprosy in a country like India, they're going to put you in outside the village. You're not allowed to come into the village. You live separate. So he had to go to a place called, and I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, Glapapuram village, outside the village. They have a mixed background of mostly Hindu, Muslims, and denominations. What he does, he would go into the middle of a village with a PA, a mic, with a speaker, and he would invite people to come and hear the gospel. Now that's bold. And he's not ashamed of the gospel. And he would go right in the middle of the village, and that's how he would invite people. I've observed it. It actually works. And now I'm not saying you have to go get a microphone and go to the village and invite people that way, but think about the boldness there. People he doesn't know, in a strange village he's never been, in the middle of a leprosy colony. To me, that's bold. I just think that's very bold. And I told him, I said, brother, you should take precautions. You know, wear protective gear. And he says, brother, I take precautions. But pray for me that I don't catch it. I said, I'll be praying, brother. I definitely will be. He then preaches under a tent, keep him out of the sun. No preachers would go to that leprosy colony out of fear. Let's just think about that for a minute. No one would go there out of fear because of leprosy, a disease that he faces every month. Prem travels some 300 kilometers, which is about 94 miles. And I say, I get on the freeway, I go 94 miles in about, 90 minutes? Not Prem. Prem gets on a motorbike, and travel over there is not by expressway, most of the travel. He has to go from town to town. Have you ever gone through a town with a lot of stoplights or a lot of traffic? You know how long it takes to get 90 miles on back roads? That's pretty much what Prem has to do to get to this place. Okay, so it's a long distance on motorbike. Prem said he taught one... I thought this story was pretty interesting. He said he taught one lady in the colony. She started crying and said to me, brother, how could we know unless someone teaches us? We are uneducated, and no one else are coming to our village and teaching us. All are afraid of disease we have. It is contagious. That's a direct quote from that lady. That's bold. And this lady points out the fact that no preacher would come and tell them. And how could they possibly hear the gospel? To me, that's a case of someone who's lost and dying from leprosy, who is seeking the truth out of a pure heart. Now, I didn't bring that up to be sad, because this lady's saved. And what a good thing it is to share the gospel with those who are lost and those who are dying. And Prem is, I think he's pretty courageous to go to a colony of lepers and teach the lost who are uneducated. You see, they can't read their Bibles. So the only way that they're going to understand the gospel is if someone tells them. If someone reads the scriptures to them and explains what the scripture means. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? There's people in this country who can read, but not perceive what the scripture, what the plan of salvation truly is, unless someone explains it to them in plain English or plain language, no matter what language it is. It takes boldness. It takes courage to explain the gospel to a lost and dying generation. Prem meets weekly with three congregations, Upal Church of Christ, Adaguda Church of Christ, and Kavapali Church of Christ. Each is about 9 to 16 miles from his apartment. I look at that on the face and I'm like, well, that seems pretty bland, pretty benign. But then I think about it. If he goes to three different churches and preaches, there's a lot of people he talks to and prays for and is constant. He's regularly preaching. He's regularly praying. He's regularly meeting with them for Bible study. That's his mindset. That should be our mindset too. He's had numerous home studies every week in 2020. He seeks out those who are lost. And he goes and has Bible studies with them on purpose. In their homes, outside their homes, anywhere he can have a Bible study. Most of the baptisms that he's seen and had were 3 to 5 at a time. Sometimes it's a whole family. Sometimes it's different people. Many of them are in small villages. He goes to a village and 2 or 3 people get baptized. And he has to go and encourage them. He has to have Bible studies with them. He has to work with a local preacher to find a church or start a church there. That's a pretty continuous cycle. Prem and I started a weekly Bible study with 12 preachers in India that he personally knows. This is to help build them up in the truth and help them grow spiritually. Prem said that this has really been a help for them and that they are learning a lot. We had a study of Colossians last year. It was a great study. Currently, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Now, I think about his evangelistic plans for 2021, and he is setting forth goals to accomplish evangelism. What a wonderful message to share. He wants to hold regular Bible studies during the week. He wants to focus on the youth, because he's concerned that they'll be led away, led astray into denominations. That's going the extra step beyond just conversion. He's trying to fortify their souls with the truth and build them up and strengthen them as Christians so that they won't be led away by error, false teaching, or denominations. He plans to visit tribal areas and preach to the tribal members who are uneducated, because most can't read, and most will never understand Scripture, let alone the plan of salvation. He plans to continue to visit the leprosy church and make it spiritually strong and help the brothers and sisters to know the truth. He plans to visit there 3 times a month. He's not backing down. He is courageous. He is bold. He is facing a disease that let's face it, leprosy is a terrible disease. He wants to print handouts or flyers and distribute them to all the people that he comes in contact with so that they can know the truth. He encounters a lot of denominations, a lot of people from different denominations. He doesn't have time to speak to all of them, but he wants to be able to hand them a tract or a flyer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The flyers simply explain the gospel plan of salvation, church fundamentals, why musical instruments should not be used in worship, and they give his contact information. That's a simple plan, a simple way to evangelize. And you really don't have to sit there and spend 50 hours or 20 hours or 10 hours trying to teach someone. you can just simply hand them a flyer or a tract. Prem plans to start a new congregation at Persed Gouda. He is having a hard time finding a place to worship. Very hard to find a place to rent. He faces things that some of us can't, I mean, at least I have a hard time wrapping my mind around. To start a new church, he's having a difficult time to find a place for them to gather and worship and assemble. Some of us, we sit in a very nice congregation. We sit in a very nice building with padded seats and air conditioning. We don't think about the hardships of just finding a place to regularly worship. But Prem faces that a lot. Now, I'm not talking about some of the remote villages. Some of those are very simple, very easy to find a place to worship. But sometimes it's hard, it's difficult. We should be praying for those who are trying to find a place to worship, whether it's an individual or a group. Believe it or not, that's a form of evangelism, praying that they can find the right church, praying for them to come and assemble with the saints, something that sometimes we just take for granted. Recently, and I'm looking at the time, so I'm not sure what time we have to end here. Recently, they had a gospel meeting at near Madhira. It was a two-day gospel meeting, March 29th and March 30th. The first night, 600 people came. The second night, March 30th, between 900 and 1,000 people came. Five different area churches organized the gospel meeting. Each of them had about 125 to 150 members, and they met in a common area. And I've listed out the churches there: Madhira Church of Christ, Jana Laguda, and Rapatnam, or three. The other two, one I can't pronounce, Uma Davapalu and Namali, I couldn't find on the map. This is the area. You can see the state of Telangana up behind me. This is the general area in India where this gospel meeting was held. This is hard to see up on the map, so I circled it. That's Madhira, the big circle. The other two were the cities where two of the other churches were. So that's the general area. Madhira is a large municipality with about 32,500 people. It's surrounded by Hindus, Muslims, and many denominations. Here you can see a picture of Prem preaching to a large group, many of which were denominations. They were not all Church of Christ. Many of them were denomination. I went ahead and put up some other pictures to give you an idea of the teaching and the size of the crowd. There were four baptisms, both one on the first day, and then I think it was actually early the next day when they were actually baptized. He was up studying with them until about 1:30 in the morning. And then I think they were baptized the next day. And then the following day, on the 31st, there was two more baptisms. One sister was from a Pentecostal background. A brother was from a Baptist background. Praise be to God for four new Christians that were converted as a result of this evangelistic effort and this gospel meeting. Prem often teaches youth Bible classes in the villages to try to steer them toward God. He holds Bible studies. Many of these children are uneducated and need to hear the gospel preached because they can't read it. They don't have a good education system. They're not blessed with the ability to read and write. He travels to outlying villages to share the gospel with those who probably need it the most, those who can't read, those who have no opportunity to go to a church. It's such a far distance for them to walk, and their children or their women. A lot of women are converted. Some of them are in dire situations. Poverty is extreme in India, in a lot of these villages. Some, like these women, are widows. There were seven widows there. They're all converted to the Church of Christ. Prem said some of these are gathering food grains from the waste thrown out by the farmers. Life for them can be very difficult. So the gospel to them is a ray of hope for them eternally. I just thought that was pretty good message. COVID-19, the pandemic in April, you might have heard in the last, I think they had a 24-hour period, 312,000 new cases. They set a record for new COVID cases. Prem said that his mother-in-law, father-in-law, and brother-in-law are all suffering with COVID, so please pray for them. He said that COVID is spreading and getting much worse in India. He said many are dying. They don't have proper medical facilities to deal with the onslaught, the sheer mass numbers. They do not have proper oxygen machines, I think they're called ventilators, or treatments. So they're just being overwhelmed. It's not that they don't have them, they just don't have enough. Prem said he's had to cancel many meetings because of the fast-growing numbers of COVID cases. Well, that is my message today on evangelism. Hopefully you found some encouraging things when you think about evangelism and sharing the gospel. When you think about ways that you can take that are practical and share the gospel with your friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, anyone you can come into contact with, I encourage you, share with them the simple message. Help them to understand who Jesus is and how much he loves them. Because the gospel really is for all, not just the educated, but for all. Thank you for allowing me to come and present a lesson to you. I really do appreciate your time and your attention. If there are any subjects here this morning who have not become a Christian, who have not given their life to Jesus Christ in baptism, who have not put on Christ and made him their Savior, you can be baptized this morning. There is water prepared. If you are a Christian and perhaps you have sin in your life that you need to confess, we can pray with you and pray for you for forgiveness. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.